This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
We're talking about the Nets and the Knicks and exactly, you know, how disappointing this season has been for the Nets. And we bring in our good friend Jay Williams. You can hear him in the morning from 8 to 10 right here on 98.7, along with Max Kellerman and Keyshawn Johnson on KJM. And he joins us now. Jay, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Getting ready to go over to this game so I can see the Knicks-Nets live. And we'll see which version of the Nets team we have on hand tonight.
Now, I watched yesterday, and obviously Kyrie went off, but they were so sloppy with the basketball. And I don't see a team. I mean, maybe they'll get out of the play-in, but I don't see a team making a run at the finals, even when they get all their players back. They're not going to get Ben Simmons back. Do you see the same thing I'm seeing, that this is a team that's just not in sync?
Ain't no way in hell this team is getting to the NBA Finals. Did you see Jalen Green and Kevin Porter go off for 30-plus points? So, like, you know, and this is the problem I have to a degree with the Nets. Obviously, Ben Simmons is your best defender. He's your, you know, primary defender. He can guard the ball. He can guard the wing. He can guard a multitude of positions. But what's coming down to me and what I'm hearing across the league from a multitude of people, guys, is that there are a lot of GMs, there are a lot of coaches that don't respect Steve Nash's adjustments that he makes in games. They don't see schemes. They don't see that type of next-level thought defensively that is allowing this team to actually draw a stake in the ground. And I know that they can be prolific from a scoring perspective. Like, KD and Kyrie can go off at any given night. And if they hit at the same rate, yeah, they could win a play-in scenario. I actually think even if they hit in the high rate, there's a chance if they go against the Miami Heat, I will give them a legitimate chance to beat the Heat. I think the Heat are a really good team. I think they lack a scoring punch to that degree. And if KD and Kyrie get hot. But against Milwaukee, against the Boston Celtics, even without Robert Williams or the way they defend, I don't see them getting by that. But I really question Steve Nash's ability in game adjustments. Is he the right coach to lead this team? We're questioning Frank Vogel, but nobody wants to question Steve Nash. And I'm the one saying, hey, there needs to be onus on what he brings to the table as well.
I'm sorry, guys. What about the way the rest of the team is? But a lot of that has to do with injuries, right? I mean, they have had so many injuries. You're seeing Kyrie and KD go off. They're still losing. How do you replace a Curry? How do you replace a Brown when he gets hurt? How do you replace a Harris? Like, how do you look at the replacements and how this team was built beyond the big two now, or even the big three when it was originally put together?
Well, I think, Joe, you know, I battle Max Kellerman about this every time he brings it up. It kind of just rubs me the wrong way, where he's like, yeah, you know, this team is just, you know, they're not playing the way they played last year. I'm like, Joe Harris is one of the best perimeter defenders, Don, that we have in the league. Like, I'll say this about people. You know, everybody thinks about how people get paid offensively. Playing hard each and every possession is a valuable skill set not a lot of NBA players have. Like, let me say it again, and it's worth a lot of money. Like, Ben Wallace and I used to talk about this all the time. He's like, Jay, just watch NBA games. Like, Michael, Pete, Don, I'm telling you, watch games and see who was really locked in every possession defensively. You tell me who is always helping from the weak side or always talking. I'm not saying guys take possessions off. This is just more of an offensively geared type of league. So Joe Harris is one of those few guys. His endurance was always off the charts. He always brought energy. He always communicated. Those are three intangible assets that not a lot of NBA guys bring to the table, because you also focus on scoring or doing something incredible. And when you lose a cog in the wheel like a Joe Harris, when you have a guy like Bruce Brown who just does the dirty work, Seth Curry isn't the best defender, but still, if I were to put him on a strong side where Kyrie has the ball, you can't help off Seth Curry. It just makes a world of a difference. So I think not having those guys available obviously loses a major advantage just from a veteran presence that all the good teams – that's how Milwaukee's built. Like, that's what those guys do on each – Grayson Allen, you may not like him. He may trip people. He may hurt people. But you know what he's going to bring from a defensive intensity every single night. And the Nets don't have – that consistency from any of their players.
Well, number one, Jay, you're absolutely right. And the truth is, this is sort of the biggest difference between people who played the game and people who watch it. I really think that you guys who played it appreciate watching defense in a different way. We often all get caught up looking at offense. But like we were just talking earlier about how LeBron James is clearly not meant to be a GM. And is Steve Nash meant to be a coach? I mean, we talked about it a little bit, but like, what does your gut tell you about whether
he's good? Hold on, Peter.
What?
Hold on, Peter. LeBron James is not meant to be a GM. What do you mean? If a GM won a championship one out of every 3 years, is that a pretty good rate?
Well, would you say
I know he made a mistake with Russell Westbrook. I know he and Rich Paul, but it's not like they didn't win one 2.5 years ago. I mean, if you're telling me that's the rate that they're clipping off at, even though they are in a little bit of a financial issue as it relates to Russell Westbrook being the highest paid player in the NBA next year at $47 million. But, I mean, that's still a pretty good rate, even though people are raining down on them for being disappointed. That, and I'll be the first one to tell you, I think they're the most disappointing team maybe in NBA history. But they also just won a championship 2.5 years ago.
Would you say that he GM'd that team as much as he did this one when he first arrived?
So, yes, I would say to a degree, and this is why. So Michael Jordan did this with David Falk, guys. Like a lot of players, I don't know if he just exercised it the same way, but one of the things that they're doing, bringing Rich Paul on to run clutch, right? Even some of the deals that they were potentially looking to make at the trade deadline, when they decided to make no moves, I think one of the issues that they're having there is how close are Rich Paul and LeBron James to Jeannie Buss, right? That proximity to ownership can diminish the value of a guy like Rob Pelinka. Think about it when LeBron James was in Miami. Like, there was no LeBron James just calling Mickey Arison and saying, hey, we need to go make this do more, make that happen. It was Pat Riley who was in the middle. And Pat Riley was the one that had the control to a degree. So, look, is it the best case scenario? I'd much rather LeBron James have a Pat Riley. But realistically, like, how many Pat Rileys are there out there that would be able to say, no, LeBron, we have our finger on the pulse of what this organization needs? So I think they have to figure that aspect out. How does that work? But they're still batting a pretty good average from a championship perspective, aren't they?
But I will tell you this, though, Jay. You talked about Jordan. Jerry Krause wouldn't let Jordan pull that nonsense. Jordan didn't want them to trade Charles Oakley for Bill Cartwright, and you know what? They did it anyway, and that got them 3 championships. So you've got to be able to tell a LeBron. I think I could have figured out, you know, if we get Anthony Davis, we're going to be pretty good. But the move to get Russell Westbrook, that's a gamble with chemistry, Jay. It just doesn't fit. And that's one of the reasons I push back with you a little bit on when you say it's the biggest disappointment in NBA history. Is it really a disappointment? If Anthony Davis wasn't out for 3 months, wouldn't they be a playoff team?
Agreed, but here's why I say it's a disappointment. Like, we always use these operative words around Anthony Davis. Like, I've had so many conversations with, you know, experts that have all like, well, you know, I don't trade Anthony Davis because when he's healthy, I'm like, the dude has played 39 games this year. He played 36 last year. The other year he was in the bubble, like if you look at the history of it, he's averaging a DMP one out of every 3 games since he's been in a Laker uniform. Mm-hmm. So, like, my whole thing is, like, you kind of see – I know what that looks like on the court. It looks sexy. It sounds sexy because from a namesake perspective, LeBron James and Anthony Davis in the pick and roll, that just seems like it works. But I don't know what you get out of Anthony Davis. Like, he's been injury prone this whole year. He was even injury prone when he was with the Pelicans. So, you know, my thing is, they're stuck with this roster, guys. It's the reality of the nature for Russ, AD, and LeBron. But do you try to piecemeal, patch these holes on this ship, surround them with shooters? I don't. When I see Milwaukee built, I see Giannis surrounded with guys who can space the floor, 3-and-D guys. They're not all brand name guys, but there's chemistry there in the way they play together. And my thing is, when I look at Austin Reeves, when I look at some of these ancillary pieces, they just don't fit at all.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So, and it is funny, though. I mean, you talk about Pelinka and it's Rich Paul and LeBron, but that's how Genie Bus operates, Jay, because ironically enough, it was Kobe and Pelinka that ran the team when they were together.
But see, I think that's a little bit of issue, and I'm going to go ahead and just throw this out there, guys. I think what happened, and look, mentor of mine broke my spirit when he passed. I think there was a lot of clout in between those walls. Somewhat lost when Kobe Bryant stopped being around that organization and how that empowered Rob Pelinka. I think Rob Pelinka was able to get the ears of a lot of players around the league because of Kobe. And now that Kobe is no longer there, players around the league look at LeBron and Clutch as if they run the league. Like Clutch has four or five guys in his draft that are the top guys. Every single year, they're producing top-tier talent. So how do you not get in bed to a degree with a Rich Paul who is able to finagle rosters and get you the right pieces to help LeBron James win? Like it's a hedge of a bet. And I know that nobody's going to talk. They're going to fire Frank Vogel way before they ever let go of Rob Pelinka. But it's just something to think about as LeBron thinks about going to a different team in time. I mean, everybody's talking about him potentially having ownership of the team in 2026 in Las Vegas. Like, I wonder who the GM of that team would be. It's going to be Rich Paul. So like, I think all this is exactly what LeBron wants because it's trial and error. But at the same time, guys, 33% chance of winning a championship in 3 years. I think any GM would take that rate.
Now, tonight, Nets and the Knicks, Jay. Are you sitting in a suite? Are you sitting in seats? How do you enjoy this game?
I got no idea where they got me. All I know is I'm a man of the people. I just want to be down. I want to be on the court. I want to hang out with the fans. I want to have a beer. I want to relax. I want to yell at Julius Randle because he'll just be on the sideline while he's playing. I mean, I have not yelled at a basketball game. Well, what am I talking about? I just yelled at the Duke game and I lost my voice. But I just feel like the Knicks have a lot to yell at. So, I mean, we talk about disappointing teams. Stephen A. Smith owes me a Tom Ford suit, Michael. Do you know that?
No,
he bet
why?
Me that the New York Knicks would go to the Eastern Conference semifinals, and I told them they wouldn't make the playoffs.
That's like a $4,000 suit.
I don't count anybody's money. I'm just going to pick out the most expensive one.
Yeah, well, don't worry. It's pocket. That's ashtray money for Stephen A.
No. Yeah, I think he's fine. And you can also get a suit from Schefter, and you could get a suit from Woj, too, from what I'm hearing, and Joe Buck.
When am I getting my suit? That's the next question. Who else is in line?
Now, Jay, here's my question, though. When you go to a game and you say you're a man of the people and you want to be out there, this is not a popular thing to mention on the radio because it will get you attacked, but I tell the truth.
Uh-oh. What but is you're going to do it to me.
What is that level? What is that section that if they say, here's where your seats are, you go, no, 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 I'm Jay Williams. This is too high up. What's the section? You sitting in a 200 level seat?
I feel like this is a trap question. And I don't know, Don, like, should I answer this question?
No,
do not answer
this question under any circumstance.
Yeah, thank you.
No, here's the answer.
Thank you, Don.
I will be happy anywhere they put me. That's the answer.
Yes, Peter, I will be happy anywhere they put me. I have consulted my legal advice, Don, and I am good to go now.
All right, before we let you go, we talked about this at the end of the show yesterday. Got some traction. I want to hear it from you. If the Knicks had to trade R.J. Barrett and a couple of first-round draft picks for Donovan Mitchell, would you do it?
How many?
Two.
How many first-round draft picks? Can you be
two.
Two? Mm-hmm. And R.J.?
Yeah. Remember, Donovan's only 26.
I do it.
I think I do, too.
I would do it.
Yeah, everybody's saying, well, R.J. Barrett could be great. Well, we know Donovan Mitchell is great.
Here's what I love about Donovan, boy. I covered college basketball for a long time. Do you know when Donovan was at Louisville? Donovan was never the guy. Like, he wasn't the explosive athlete that he is now, scoring 50-point-plus games. He was like a role guy. He was a defender. He was a slasher. He wasn't even a gifted shooter. So there's something about that DNA to me that feels very New York, right? Like, I am willing to be blue-collar. I am willing to spend time in the trenches. I'm already from the Northeast. I'm from Greenwich, Connecticut. Like, I know what this city is all about. And there's and I'm not saying RJ doesn't have it, because this is like Duke on Duke crime with me killing my own brother here. But, like, Donovan is a superstar that is a blue-collar superstar. There's nothing about him that makes me feel like it's shiny or anything's ever too good for him. You know what he is, Don? The same answer you just gave me about what seats you're in, that's the kind of basketball player he is. He's like, whatever city I'm in, I'm going to own it, and I want to be the best. And for him, I know coming back home to this market, if you can build around a personality like that, I would do it. I think it would be worth R.J. Barrett and two first-round picks, and I never thought I would say that.
Jay, I'm going to tell you one thing. If you're blue-collar from Greenwich, that means that you're wearing a nice, bright, yellow Brooks Brothers tie with that blue collar.
That is an oxymoron. You're right. That doesn't make sense. But it doesn't feel that way, though, when you see him, you know?
No, absolutely. He's a great player. Also, are you rooting for Tiger? I know you used to be a caddy when you were a kid, and most of the ESPN people are out of their mind over Tiger. Are you like that?
I'm rooting for Tiger, but I'm worried about this. So, you know, when I hurt my leg in my accident, one of the most difficult things, I walked 36 holes a day. I really got into golf. I was a caddy for 5 or 6 years in my life as a young kid. So I love golf, and it was part of my therapy routine. And one of the things, it's my left leg, obviously, it's his back leg. I wonder about how that factors into his swing. First off, like, you know, you get all your thrust, your pop from that back leg. But the topography of the Masters, for me, if you're on a downward slope, if you're on an upward slope, all those different angles for 4 days in a row, like, I know people are saying this could be the best comeback story, but like, I want to, to a degree, like lessen expectations for him, because just walking the course for 4 days at all those different angles of trajectory to hit these shots, like, I wonder how his body is actually going to hold up. So am I rooting for him? Yes, but I don't know if it's realistic anymore for me to think that he's going to catch Jack Nicklaus. I don't see that being reasonable.
Great stuff. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks, Jay.
All right, boy.
That's Jay Williams. You can hear him 8 to 10 right here on 98.7. We'll come back, take some phone calls. Kayla Greca, Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.